You're listening to The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry.
Remember the sky that you were born under. Know each of the stars' stories. Remember the moon. Know who she is. Remember the sun's birth at dawn. That is the strongest point of time.
Joy Harjo was the 23rd U.S. Poet Laureate. The celebrated, award-winning poet and performer served three terms in this role. Harjo is a member of the Muscogee Creek Nation and has published 10 books of poetry. Now, one of her poems,
Remember,
which was originally published in 1983, has been crafted into a children's book. The poem invites young readers to reflect on the world around them, to ponder how all of life is interconnected, and to remember their heritage and unique place in the world.
Remember the plants, trees, animal life, who all have their tribes, their families, their histories too. Talk to them, listen to them. They are alive poems.
With us now is Joy Harjo, former U.S. Poet Laureate and author of the new children's book, Remember. Joy, thanks for joining us on The Takeaway.
I'm so glad I could be here and be here with you.
I'm excited, and I understand that you are actually in our studios in New York with the team, even though I'm remote, but it's so lovely to have you in our space.
Well, it's good to hear your voice. A voice always says so much about someone.
Indeed, I had the pleasure of hearing your voice live. You visited the university where I teach, Wake Forest University, last year in 2022. And your moment, your reading, your performance engaged so many different aspects of voice, song, poetry, your connection to us as an audience. Can you talk to me a bit about how you understand poetry across all these spaces?
Yes, I came to poetry through music. My mother was a songwriter and used to write songs on the kitchen table, and we danced a lot, and my father was also a good dancer. And I came to understand, you know, the power of lyrics, the power of rhythm, and the connection that it connects orality, which is the basis of all novels, poetry, writing. Orality is a living thing, and it's not just about the performer. There's no performance without everybody else.
In building on that, what does it mean to be a poet warrior?
The qualities of a warrior. Okay, when I was younger, I was an art major for a while at the University of New Mexico, and my project that I never did, I'm thinking about starting it back up, was to do a portrait series of warriors. And usually you see Native warriors as the, as men, you know, from the shoulders up or whatever. And they were often the people who the English-speaking people knew. And that's, you know, and they were incredible in their time and place. But I started thinking about contemporary warriors too, and what makes a warrior. And I started thinking of all of the women all over the, you know, their mothers. I started thinking of their mothers and I watch, and I did it myself. I have watched so many young women going to school, having a job, taking care of a home, getting up in the morning, making sandwiches for the kids, getting them ready, working with them when they get back. There's just so much to attend to, and it seems like in this day of virtual reality and so on, it's speeded things up even more. And it's, you know, those are some of our bravest, those young women are some of our bravest and most powerful warriors.
I love that you begin that in part by talking about this, you know, art project that could be part of it. Let's go back to the new children's book built on and adapted from an earlier poem, Remember. But part of what happens in this children's book is the illustration. It is the artwork, and it's illustrated here by Michaela Goad. Can you talk to us about why you wanted to bring this poem to life through illustration?
This poem has a life of its own. It was first published in 81, but I wrote it while I was still an undergraduate at the University of New Mexico, and I realized this poem came to me because this is what I needed to know as I was still growing up. We're all still growing up. We continue to learn. And this poem it's on the Lucy spacecraft right now, and people have loved this poem, taken it to heart, have read it at funerals, weddings, and so on. And so it was time for it to have its own place this way, and the art by Michaela Goat is magical.
What was it like working with Michaela to bring this to life?
Well, it was amazing to watch it come to life. I had a choice of artists, and her work is incredible. And our first conversation was, well, she could study my Muscogee people's, you know, art motifs and images, but would I mind if she based it on her Tlingit people? And I know her people. I've been up in her community, different communities, and I told her, we want you because of your art and your instincts. And what I said, go ahead, make it from your community. And I think I've seen her other projects are incredible, but maybe I'm partial, but this one is just, it's amazing. It gives the poem another kind of life. And it does what the poem is supposed to do, is to go out and remind us that we are this earth. The plants are our relatives. They help take care of us. The animals, the winds. We are all one being.
Okay, take a pause with me for just a moment. We're going to be right back with more with the poet Joy Harjo right after this. It's The Takeaway.
They shoot journalists on sight in the Capitol. They literally see us as enemy combatants.
In the new movie Civil War, the United States is up in flames, and the truth teller is just another casualty.
The movie is using journalism as a lens to show you what happens when social trust breaks down completely.
On this week's On the Media from WNYC. Find On the Media wherever you get your podcasts.
We're still with Joy Harjo, who served as the U.S. Poet Laureate from 2019 until 2022. She has a new illustrated children's book, which brings her poem, Remember, to new life with illustrations by Michaela Goad. Joy, as you were talking about the ways that your poem, which comes from your set of experiences, and then Michaela's illustrations from her peoples, are also now on a spacecraft, I suppose the illustrations are, but the poem is. Can you talk to me about what it felt like to be and what it feels like for you to have your words going intergalactic?
Well, it's not something I ever could have predicted. I mean, you never see poetry at career day. It's something that I think, you know, you pursue it or it pursues you. It almost feels to me like it's inbuilt. You come into the world as an artist, and of you know, a poet is a kind of artist of sorts, and that's kind of built in. It's a different kind of way, but it's absolutely necessary. The arts are absolutely necessary for culture, you know, for the definition and flourish of, you know, for cultures to flourish. That's how we know who we are as human beings, is in our arts, in our words, our languages.
I love this. I'm never going to forget this, right? That you don't have a poet featured at career day. I wonder, as you're making this point, like, certainly the yearning towards all of the things that make possible sending up the Lucy spacecraft, right? The science, the technology, the STEM, the AI, all of those things. But also there's a rootedness that you give us in your work to to this extraordinary spaceship that we're on Earth, to what we have here and our need to protect it.
Yes, I mean, it is the root. And I remember being kind of shocked, but it made sense when I heard another poet speak, Linda Hogan, years ago, and she told us in the audience that that NASA image of Earth was, it was a, what do you call it, classified document for a while and not allowed for public because it was so potent and powerful. And we saw what happened when the image of Earth was released. Suddenly you were hearing holistic, environmental. We never heard that in the vernacular, in the everyday, because suddenly there we were. There we were, a living being, blue and the blue of oceans and green. And we were, and there was a light coming. There was a light. And there we were together as a person. That was astounding. And it shifted culture. We need to remember that in these days. I mean, every day there's stories that show that, yes, we are shifting. We're always shifting. Everything is always moving in a living biosystem, in a living mentality system, a system of mentality and of spirituality. There's, for it to live, there's always movement. But we're seeing now it's speeded up. Just like our technology has speeded up, we're seeing the world, the changes, Earth changes, speed it up.
I'm interested in the notion that remember is calling us to do that, to remember these things, to remember our Earth, to remember our parents, to remember our people, not to learn it, right? Not to learn it anew, but to remember it. Do we all have it? Are we able to remember it? Do we know it well enough to recall it?
It's there, but it seems like our technology is set up so that we don't remember. You know, we used to know everyone's phone numbers. We don't even call it phone anymore. I know I'm sounding old, and I am. But we don't, you know, it's all in our machines. What happens when our phones go away? What's going to happen? You know, we have to, I think memory is like anything else. You pay attention to it, you build it with stories, with songs, but it's still there. It's all there at the root. I think at the root of every culture in the world is this knowing that, you know, we are absolutely interdependent with the plants and with the gifts of the earth. It's just that in our indigenous cultures, at least the ones that I'm familiar with, I don't know all of them or everything, and I'm not an expert, is that what's at the root is that we are all related, and no one is above the other. There is no hierarchy, and the earth is a living being versus, well, you know, you can, you know, take what you want and dig up, and it's our, you know, it was given to us by God for us to take what we want. It's two very different ways of thinking about Earth, or Iganajaga, as we call her in our Muscogee language.
The poem also calls us to not only remember the plants, trees, and animal life, but to talk to them and to listen to them. How do we talk to them?
Everything is energy and vibration, and there's communication going on all the time. And what I have learned is that if I'm quiet enough, then you can hear. I was surprised. One time my mother had bought us some plants and said, put it over there on my porch there. And for the first time I heard the plants sitting there saying, we don't want that plant here. I thought, well, you know, I didn't question it. Later I thought, what in the world? But I realized, one, plants are like human beings. And, you know, they have their likes and dislikes, but I heard them, and it's everywhere. I mean, everything has life. Our printers, even, you know, they can be wacky and they're very temperamental, but everything is, everything has energetics, and it's moving, it's vibration, everything every living thing, and even the, you know, our technology, it's made of living stuff. And when you look at the world that way, it's the interconnections are, you know, are absolutely there and living. And I have a lot of other stories, but I won't I won't go into them all now, and you might think I'm crazy.
Can you, as you're telling stories, is there a story that for you represents maybe what was the best of your time as, or what you most enjoyed or learned, or what you will remember from being U.S. Poet Laureate?
Oh, there's so much, and so much of my term happened in my home, you know, on Zoom. Because, the COVID hit not long after I was made U.S. Poet Laureate. But what I remember is how astounding the reaction was, especially with Native people, because to have someone in this position, in a Native person in this position, told the world that, one, we're human beings. There was a recent study done that showed that about 20-25% of Americans think that we're all dead, and that we're human beings. And another was that there are many Native poets, and many poets, period. And so the outpouring of the outpouring from communities was quite amazing. And I was Poet Laureate too at a time when people were hungry for poetry. Poetry, we always turn to poetry in times of great transformation, whether it's birth, death, marriage, you know, all of those important moments of shift and change, adolescence. There's a reason, you know, adolescents are, you know, usually fervent readers and writers of poetry and music and so on, to, you know, document their time of great shift, you know, turning from children to men and women. And also the ending event, I will never forget. It was we had started one of the first Native poetry organizations to help bring up younger Native writers. They were a lot there. Native poets were there. A young Native poet from my community read a credible poem she wrote for the occasion, and then the last day, after the event, the performance, we had a dance party outside Library of Congress with a great DJ. Oh, we could see the Capitol, and there we were all dancing. I remember that. I'll remember that.
Joy, I love that story. Joy Harjo, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you. Remember the sky that you were born under. Know each of the stars' stories. Remember the moon. Know who she is. Remember the sun's birth at dawn. That is the strongest point of time. Remember sundown and the giving away tonight. Remember your birth, how your mother struggled to give you form and breath. You are evidence of her life and her mother's and hers. Remember your father, he is your life also. Remember the earth whose skin you are, red earth, black earth, yellow earth, white earth, brown earth, we are earth. Remember the plants, trees, animal life, who all have their tribes, their families, their histories too. Talk to them, listen to them, they are alive poems. Remember the wind, remember her voice, she knows the origin of this universe. Remember you are all people, and all people are you. Remember you are this universe, and this universe is you. Remember all is in motion, is growing as you. Remember.